We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm singing in the rain. Just singing in the rain. What a glory.
And welcome back for the 8 o'clock hour. Zach, what are we going to call this place? Half remote and half studio.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
We're working on Power 96 out of their studio. They should be here in a couple of weeks to a month.
Yeah.
We'll see when they get it all worked out and
but
get out of
not,
the old
they're
building.
They're not ready to go. This studio.
They're
not
ready to
go.
So we're doing a remote because the equipment's not set up because ours got flooded.
Right.
Something happened, and of all the studios and all the stations that are here, we were the ones to get all the rain.
Soaked, so yes.
We got said, come on in and bring your own computers and let's go. Laptops.
You saw the studio? You saw what's going on in there?
I did. I saw like the fans
nine
blowing.
Nine fans and all kinds
yeah.
of stuff.
So they're trying to dry it out and get us back in there, I'm guessing, by next week. So anyway, that's how we are. Nobody cares about that, but we still wanted you to know as we continue on here and everything else. Let me ask you, NBA schedules out real quickly. And there are some good matchups. Like, if I could hand pick, like, this is a crazy one. New Orleans and Houston, I think, would be fun to watch.
Right, yeah. That's going to be fun.
Anything New Orleans is going to be fun. Right. Young, and there may be nights where they get blown out because they don't have a lot of experience. But I'm curious to see how good they're going to be. But there's a lot of different combinations. But there is nothing better, I have to admit, even we're on the East Coast, than the Clippers and the Lakers
right.
four times, including Christmas.
Yeah, and that's going to be the fun Christmas day game, yes.
And there's a lot of good games because it's for the first time in a long time, the NBA is wide open for who's going to go to the finals in the East and the West. I think there's more teams actually in the West that are wide open. There's a lot of teams going, hey, we got a shot. So it will be fun to watch.
Did you see what the NBA did with the times for some of the stuff?
Yeah.
And they made it a little more East Coast friendly.
They're for people to get up really early,
right.
like we do.
But they have a lot of those 10:30 normal starts.
I like
at 9:30.
That, though. I thought it was a good move. You know, they don't want to get into the West Coast dinner too early. They want to give people a chance to get home, but they're also sensitive to the East Coast that, hey, man, we only stay up so late, man. I got to get up. I don't want to be dozing off, jump in bed, watch the game, fall asleep, wake back up, and hopefully you catch the end of the fourth quarter or something. So they're going to try that and see how that whole thing works out with schedules coming out and everything else. So that came out. And hey, by the way, you know what else I was going to say to you? We were talking about Miami, and we had Coach on with us for a little bit there in the 7 o'clock hour. Tell me, USC and Miami aren't like identical in football for what they've been through. Two the best recruiting areas in the country, L.A., this Southern California's population from San Diego to Bakersfield is considered to be their area, and at one time they dominated. If they want anybody out of that area,
they got them.
And Miami is a much smaller area, but obviously rich with football. And two programs, Pete Carroll had that thing rolling. And when he left and they had their problems, when Reggie got in trouble, when everybody got in trouble, and they haven't been able to recover. And Miami hasn't really been able to recover with those teams. I just thought they were talking about last night, when will USC be back? When will they find the right coach? And a lot of people think Urban, by the way, is going to be the coach someday.
Just wait till Urban takes the job.
But I really thought they had a lot in common for the long fall for both USC and Miami. With a lot of the same things have happened. A coach took off, went to the pros, Dennis Erickson.
Yep.
And, you know, and so Butch brought it back, and they've really struggled. They at times have looked like they've got it going, and then they haven't, and they're just not dominating recruiting.
They should
in that area.
Yeah, they should be.
Like they used to. Let me tell you something, man. USC, and I'm going old days, McKay and John Robinson, that handoff, they didn't miss a beat. I mean, same kind of play. They were dominant, and it was seemed like it was the same handful of teams, Alabama, a lot of Alabama and a lot of USC during that time where they were just – one was dominating the West Coast and one was getting it done in Alabama with some really, really good football teams.
Howard to Jimmy to Dennis?
Howard, Jimmy, Dennis, Butch.
And then Butch? I mean, I just took Butch even out of it for now, just the first three, not missing a beat. From Howard to Jimmy. Jimmy got it rolling. Dennis got it rolling.
The problem is that those two coaches that I just mentioned for SC stayed around a long time.
A long time. Yeah, you're right.
So they just a lot shorter periods. This has always been kind of a stop. I always want – outside of – I'm guessing Jimmy Johnson has no regrets because the Dallas thing worked out so well for him. But it would be interesting to ask Dennis left because of circumstances, personal circumstances with a problem that he had in his personal life, alcohol. And the probation, the way, and it could all been tied together. Who knows?
Maybe.
He got a fresh start, which finally took care of his problems. And Schnellenberger, I think he's been pretty clear. Butch Davis, more than any, like, did any of those guys, those two especially, Schnellenberger had a job. The USFL took the job and the thing folded.
Right.
He didn't get a cup of coffee with it. He thought he was all jacked up. It was, you know, the next step and everything. And then, you know, people can say whatever they want about Howard's career after that. But listen, he hit the ultimate at the U and
right.
never.
And if he never left.
And, you know, he'll tell you Louisville thing and what he did there. And he did some great things. And FAU getting that thing started were great. But. Nothing like
here. No, come on.
Nothing like
what here. He did down here was revolutionize this university.
And Butch has been very open about I made a mistake.
Of course.
I took the money.
Yeah.
I got paid a ton of money. He did. He made a lot more at Cleveland.
But it's hard Browns. To be that all that money dangled your face, an NFL pro job in your face, and for you not to take it. It's rough. Unless you were just a true to life, every day you need to be a college football coach. And we know a lot of those guys that just the pros aren't for them.
Yeah, but if Butch would have. If any of those guys would have stayed, any of them, God only knows how long that thing goes, and it looks like, you know, what it would have looked like. Yeah, I always think about that. And
well, the what ifs? What if Howard never left? Jimmy wouldn't be here. Jimmy wouldn't have gotten here, right?
No.
Yeah, like if Howard stayed, no, he would have stayed for 20 years.
Schnellenberger, he had this thing figured out on how to do it, and he could have had it for a long, long time.
Jimmy came and brought Butch. Like, imagine if that never happened. The Jimmy and Butch time down here would have never happened.
Probably never happened. Yeah. You're right. From guy from his staff and everything else. And then we were lucky enough or unlucky enough to get Larry Coker, and that just killed everything.
You're going to get – the best is when you say that and the guys that cover the team, oh, you don't give Larry enough credit. You know, what about Larry? Larry did a great job down here.
First of all, anybody says that's stupid.
Omar says it all the time when he covers
First
the team.
First of all, then Omar's stupid.
Yeah.
Omar, seriously, if you think
– Look at his record. Look what he did.
You know when people go, I could have coached that group and we would have won a national championship? I could have coached that group and we would have won a national championship.
I would have loved to
And
see
I could
that.
Have screwed up the recruiting as like
oh,
Larry
yeah.
did.
Oh, if you were the recruiter.
But if Omar doesn't think – and listen, it wasn't what he did with those two teams. That thing's – but the recruiting, how it fell off.
Oh, so bad.
It was terrible.
It was so bad. Ridiculous. 11 days away, by the way, Canes Gators. This college football report brought to you by FIU Panthers football. Panthers pride is here. Get your season tickets now at 305 FIU game or visit tickets.fiusports.com.
Omar doesn't think Larry Coker. Please.
No, he does. Like, I'm telling you right now, the next time we have Omar on,
Omar loses all credibility.
You have to talk to him about it. He gets pissed off when we bring up the fact that Larry Coker was a joke.
He was a joke.
He's pissed off. He's going to be pissed. He brings it up all the time.
So you tell me Omar followed that team and he thinks Larry Coker kept it and should be mentioned with those other guys for what he did?
Right. Yes. He says he should be in the halls of the greats that coached here.
Well, he did. They didn't they honor him and put him in their thing? I don't understand how they did that. I have no idea. Like, what didn't you see? You can ask fans.
Right.
So Omar covered the team.
Yes.
And thought Coker did a great job. And the fan base knows more than that. Like, they'll be the first to go, oh, no, that's when the drop-off started. And we never. That's where we started taking when you had your – because Larry Coker, the first few years, he could handpick who he wanted, especially in South Florida, and he handpicked the wrong guys. Instead of taking 1, 2, and 3s, he was taking – if you were taking – you know, he was taking 4, 5, and 6 and letting 1, 2, and 3 go to Ohio State and everywhere else.
You just brought in the Jeff Ireland thing there. Good for you.
I did kind of.
We got
four, that.
Four,
oh,
five,
boy.
And sixes.
Right.
What we need are 3s, 2s, and 1s.
Yeah.
And I got to find out, we have to find out who those 3s, 2s, and 1s are if we have any of those guys.
By the way, if you want to join us, 56022 is the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line.
I didn't know Omar all the time. He's never said anything to me about that.
No, Omar.
We
is.
Usually just have a lot of differences on our thoughts about the Dolphins, so we never get. I didn't even know he was at the U. Cover.
Yeah, I think he covered the team when Coker was there. Yeah,
and he thought Coker
did a good job. Great job. Yeah. Next time we have Omar on, I'm going to bring.
I'm literally up. Like you just threw me off.
I mean, you just threw
me off everything I wanted to do.
Yeah, Omar is a Coker guy. Not even a question. Whenever we bring him up, he goes, "Put some respect on Coker's name. Look at his record. Look what he did.
He's doing the 2-year record thing.
I'm telling you."
How do you do once Butch recruits left?
I don't know. We'd have to look it up. Not great. Someone just texted in, Larry Coker only recruited based on stars, not players. He was 60-15 at Miami.
I mean, if you look at 60-15, it sounds pretty good. 60-15 sounds, you know.
It's a good record, yeah. Especially with, the chip also and
no,
all that.
It's,
yeah.
it's good, but the fact is, the next 2 years, that team, I called it the continuation of the Sugar Bowl when Butch left and they let him stay. Mm-hmm. It was terrible. I mean, it was just
– not good. Yep.
I don't know what he did for recruiting or how much time he spent at it or who he had doing it. That's when Pete Garcia took off and went to Cleveland with Butch. Well, whoever stayed, they got some explaining to do. That was terrible. Like, apparently, yeah, Omar's – yeah,
we'll have Omar on. You got to ask about debate. It. I'll bring it. I will remind you.
I didn't. I'll just put that on the list of everything else.
Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line 56022. They're coming in like crazy.
So he said that to you because he's never said it to me.
He said it on Twitter before. I've seen him on Twitter all the time.
He's minding his own business in Tampa right now. You guys are killing him.
I'm not. I'm just bringing it up. I'm going to ask.
Oh, Hollywood, am I wrong? Do you see it also when Omar writes about when someone brings up Coker's name?
Yeah, I have seen that. But again, the guy's just trying to relax for a few days, enjoy Tampa, and you guys are crushing him.
Well, he's studying the.
He can't defend.
No. I know you're right, and we'll have him on. Omar studying the offensive line right now. He's getting ready.
We need some help.
Study the guard play and the tackle play, and get you updates on everything there. All right, man. I'm done. I'm not doing the Coker thing. It's not even a debate.
I'm just throwing that out.
I mean, Yes, he's got to get a little credit. He was the head coach when that thing was on automatic pilot for 2 years.
Right.
He should. He should have 2 national championship rings.
Right.
He got one.
Right.
But it was still, the other game, everybody knows what happened.
That's what he's looking at.
So those 2 years, he was the head coach. He was lucky enough that Ken Dorsey and those guys went into the athletic director and said, don't change anything. Yeah. We got our system in play with our players. All those all the freshmen are now going to be sophomores and
really good players.
They're going to be here for their sophomore and junior year, then they're going to turn pro. So we're all set up. We're all set up, man. We got really good players. Andre Johnson's going to take over for Wayne and Moss. Yeah. We're in good shape. You don't have to do anything.
Not that big of a drop-off there, though. No. Reggie Wayne to Andre Johnson? Can we be so lucky?
See, you don't get hurt the first year. Until you have your first and second recruiting classes.
Right.
And then
that's
the third
when
one, you're
was,
going, uh-oh.
Yeah. Yep.
We ain't got any horses to follow the horses, man.
Someone just texted
not
Larry,
as many.
Larry Coker got fired at UT San Antonio. Stop. Right, he did.
Oh, he didn't have an automatic. Oh, that's right. He had to start that thing from scratch. That's right. I'm sorry. That's not fair to him. I can't believe he said that.
I'm telling you.
He must have really liked him. That's why
he did. He liked him
because when Omar doesn't like somebody, he gets a little personal.
Right, right.
He gets a little personal, especially if you leave town too. He gets that last day. He's no different than we are.
Of course, the radio guy.
There's no integrity.
All right, Joe. Let's be nice to the people. We like being nice to the people. Right now, caller number 5 to 305-567-0560 wins two tickets to Brad Paisley's World Tour coming to Coral Sky Amphitheater this Saturday with special guests Chris Lane and Riley Green. If you do not win, tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. But caller 5 right now, 305-567-0560 wins two tickets to Brad Paisley's World Tour at Coral Sky Amphitheater this Saturday night.
All right. Well, Antonio Brown lost his grievance. What a shocker that is yesterday. 2 hours. And they said, hey, Antonio, we let you talk. We understand how much you love your old helmet. And we all love our old stuff, man. All of us. No, I don't want to change. Oh, but there's a lot better. No, I like my old phone. I understand. But he had no shot here in Helmetgate at all. And the old helmet is done. See you in September with that new helmet because you ain't going anywhere.
All right.
You're going to have a lot of footballs thrown your way. And by the way, he changed his tune, too. Like, can't wait to get back. Very disappointed, but can't wait to get back to work after my feet feel better. Basically, he said, can we hurry up and just get to September so I can start getting my 10-plus targets a game from Coach Gruden, and we'll get going. Put him high, man. I think as crazy as he is, and I think he's a goofball, man. He really is. He's out there. On everything he's done, still the strangest last game and the stories that came out that I don't believe Mike Tomlin is looking to make him look bad at that time when he told him he couldn't play in the last game. Since then, he's a little wacky. He's just doing stuff that's a little different. I've never seen a guy bring his three kids for when you're getting ready to go practice and he walks out with three of his kids.
It's weird.
In his uniform.
It's weird.
Very strange. Yeah. I mean, it just that stuff doesn't happen, man.
You know what we're going to see tonight, by the way, if Hard Knocks is a real show or not. If they show any of this stuff with the helmet or the foot or any of that
stuff. They are going to get blasted.
If Gruden blocks stuff, is it the coach or the team that's allowed to say yes or no to certain things?
No, they can police what they want in and out. But they also know, I mean, I'm guessing HBO is saying, listen, man, this is the
hottest story.
Kind
of
a big story. We're going to get ripped, man. We're going to get ripped if this doesn't look like
– legit.
Yeah.
If you don't have Antonio Brown stuff on the show tonight dominating, and we're talking about like the fourth string tight end that's got a good story.
Consider it's one of the craziest stories in the history
ever.
Of the NFL
right.
For as good a player. And by the way, it all starts because he's so good. If this was – well, nobody put up with any of this stuff where you went AWOL and they didn't know where you were. They just get rid of you.
Joe, this is your sixth or seventh wide receiver on the team in training camp, and he said, I'm not wearing this helmet. Or I just got frostbite on my feet from being in a cryotherapy session.
Come on.
It's Antonio Brown. It's Julio Jones, DeAndre Hopkins, Odell Beckham, one of these guys, hot story, top story, this and that. I told you what Peter King wrote in his Monday article. I've been around the NFL for how many years now? This now ranks up with the craziest stories I've ever covered.
I've never seen anything like it. And I've had crazy teammates, and I've seen crazy stuff happen with guys on drugs and alcohol and everything. This is up there. But I will tell you, the good news is get ready because he's going to get a lot of footballs thrown to him. I think he's going to have a big old season, and they're going to get their money's worth. And John Gruden is smart enough to suck it up and not worry about every day of practice, getting back maybe a little bit at the end of camp in one of those last preseason games, and then going, all right, Antonio, I get that you're not real big on all this stuff. Let's get back to Oakland and get it started.
This is a weird way to not be in camp, right, though? Frostbite and the helmet thing. It's one thing for, you know, I pulled my hammy. I can't really practice that much, and you kind of know what's going on. Like Julio Jones. Is anyone making a fuss in Atlanta? He's healthy, but they're not playing him any preseason games. Like, that's it. You're out. You could practice. You could do light work. We know you're going to be around week one. If Antonio Brown did that, no one would be ripping the guy. But instead, it's frostbite and a helmet situation.
Well, he has it. Julio Jones, he didn't play preseason last year either. They just keep – there's a handful of guys that coaches go, we don't want you to get hurt. We don't need to see you.
Joe, the offense is built around Julio. The offense is going to be built around Antonio Brown. I would do the same thing with both guys. If we had Odell Beckham here in Miami, I'd do the same thing. If Barry Sanders was here at running back, I'd do the same thing.
Well, your team's got to be in the right situation.
Well, you got to be a good
team. Where you
have
a chance to do it and go ahead. But, yeah, he's going to have a big year. I really believe it, and he will. I think Derek Carr is good enough. I don't think he's Ben Roethlisberger, but he's good enough to know that – we're going to get – John Gruden is going to find ways to get Antonio Brown the football. So, but it is a weird one, man, because it wasn't too long ago, if I don't get my old helmet, I quit. And somebody said, don't say that, man, because the league is not, like, there's no shot. When you're talking about the safety and the helmet, helmets connected to the head.
No one's above that.
You got no shot, man. No shot. 2016 or 17 guys got to wear that helmet. Your ass is going to wear that helmet too. And I know some other guys, including Tom Brady, not excited about the new helmet.
But they're going to wear it.
Yeah, they don't have a choice.
They don't have a choice.
Like, you can't go on the field without it. You're not supposed to, or the team can get in big trouble too, whatever that is. Whatever.
By the way, also, if he doesn't play and he forced the retirement or whatever it was, is he going to pay back the $20 million signing bonus or the $18 million, whatever it was that he got right up front? You think he's gonna,
I don't know.
You think he's going to pay that kind of money back,
funny,
if he has to?
I don't know if they gave him – I don't know what the deal was on this one. If he got
$30 million guaranteed. I'd have to look to see exactly what the signing bonus was. But $30 million guaranteed. Do you think he's giving that up? Because that's the whole point of why he wanted out of Pittsburgh, outside of the fact he hated Ben Roethlisberger's guts. He wanted out of Pittsburgh because he wanted more guaranteed money. Now you got it and you're going to retire because your damn helmet?
Well, he's made it clear he doesn't need the money, but you know what? I heard everybody laughing about that. Like, he ain't going anywhere. Everybody knows. He just wants September to roll around, and he's going to start playing. He's got to – listen, part of what makes him great is his ego to be – get lots of football thrown his way and put up big, big numbers. So he gets a fresh start, but he'll be back, man. Don't worry, fantasy football head. Put him back up there in the top of your list for wide receivers. He's not only going to be out there, but they are going to throw him the football. If you think they gave him all that money to not get he's a 10-plus target guy per
game. Is he going to be available week one? That's all that matters. He's got frostbite in his feet. You don't know that.
He'll be back.
The guy can't hardly run.
He'll be back. He got, like, that frostbite. They've already come out. We've had people, three or four. It's like blisters on your feet. 3 or 4 weeks, he'll be back. The whole thing's weird.
The whole Antonio Brown story is crazy.
Guys get blisters, but from the machine and not using it properly and just all the other stuff, the kids going out on the field. I always love to when people go, well, you knew what you were getting, John. Late for meetings, AWOL, you don't know where he is. You really – it's a good thing he's a really good football player, like you said, or he would there would be no shot that any of this stuff would be going. Like, teams would just, you got to go. Not good, but they also know how good he is, man. And so anybody thinks, no matter who you are, everybody has different rules. Some guys, if you're really good, you can get away with things. Don Shula was the same way. God, I love you, coach, but – There were different rules for different guys. Not the big ones, and Coach Shula make it, but Jimmy Johnson did come out and say it, and he's right on the money. Certain guys can do certain things. The better you are, the more you can get away with.
Of course.
Because those guys are going to win
that
the
before.
Games. Yeah. No, it's happened in the old days. Now, I'm not saying you don't get your ass chewed if you're a really good guy, but you can get away with a hell of a lot than a guy that's not as good.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
On the line right now is Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Michael Lombardi. As always, Insider calls are brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Michael, thank you for joining us this morning, buddy.
No, it's always a pleasure to be here, guys. Thank you for having me.
Hey, a lot going on, including that mess in Dallas trying to figure out how to sign their wide receiver, a running back, and a quarterback. But let's start with old Dak Prescott. I was shocked. I thought they didn't offer him $30 million because I said there's no way the reports are that he turned down $30 million. They're saying he wants $40 million, and I'm like, wow, that's a Tom Brady's making 23 as the 13th. Good luck trying to become the highest paid guy by a lot in the NFL. I was a little surprised by that. I was surprised he turned down 30. To be honest, what do you think?
I reported he turned down 30. I mean, he's laughed at 30. You know, he laughed at 30. He thinks that, you know, Todd France's agent laughed at 30. They don't think that's the right number. So, look, we all understand that our importance of how a team, why a team wins and why a team loses. I think that's the most critical component in all of sports, is to truly understand why teams win and why teams lose. After a game, you can pick up all your local newspapers and you can read about why the Dolphins won the game, and that's probably inaccurate. And then you can read about why the Dolphins lost the game, and that's probably inaccurate. And the people that can figure out the real reasons are the ones that have success in the NFL. And if you believe the reason the Cowboys are winning because of Dak Prescott, you'll pay him $40 million. You'll be completely wrong, but you'll pay him $40 million. If you believe it's something else, then you won't pay him $40 million. You won't pay him $30 million.
So how do you go about taking care of that? They're in a real unique situation because if you give those guys top money, a number one receiver money, top running back money, and top quarterback money, you're going to chew up that cap. How do they go about taking care of it with these guys?
There's one word you can use. It's called indifference. You know, people say the opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference. Well, what you have to become is indifferent to Dak Prescott. You just say to Dak, look, play out your deal. Just play out your deal. No worries. We'll find another quarterback. You got to be really stoic about it. You got to say, look, we'll find another quarterback. We'll find somebody that we can hand that could come in and play under center and give. We found you in the fourth round. We'll find somebody else. Look, let's face it, okay? What we don't understand, what players don't typically understand, is the Ohio State-Michigan game in the year 2050 is already sold out, and the kids that are going to play in it aren't even born yet. It's the uniform, right? It's right. The uniform. Yeah. Right? It's about the uniform, right? It's the uniform represents. Now, we all need great players, but no one is more important than the uniform. And as long as you keep that in mind, it's easy to say no. Now, if you become a prisoner to one player, you're going to have a bad career. Your team's going to go up and down, and you're not going to look like an effective football team.
Michael, let's stay in Dallas for a second. What do you do with Ezekiel Elliott? Do you give him Todd Gurley money, that contract?
Well, I think he's better than Gurley. I think he's the problem. I think he's the issue. To me, the off-the-field stuff worries me to give him a ton of money. But the terms of on the field, I don't think he's been utilized in the level that he could. If you had Josh McDaniels coaching down there in Dallas and with the skill that Zeke has, he would probably have 100 catches, average over 10 yards a catch, and still gain 1,500 yards on the ground. I mean, this is a guy that can change the dynamics of a game. And I think his utilization has been poor down there. They run him on first down. They don't really give him a chance to be in space. He's a talented receiver. He's a weapon. I'm going to pay him, but I'm concerned about his off-the-field issues because once I pay him, does those problems magnify?
Michael, I want to ask you about Tom Brady, a guy you've spent time with, 13th highest paid quarterback right now, making 23 after getting a little more put on there. Does part of it ever bother him? We always hear about, I'm giving money back because I want to get better players around me and we'll spend it the right way. Is there any part of that guy that we don't see that goes, wait a second, man, I need to be paid there at the top. I'm the greatest of all time. Is there any part with that guy of that you think that he bitches or complains or it bothers him?
I think part of it is that, you know, he drives the team to become better. So is he bitching? I don't think it's bitching. I think it's driving. Does he complain about it? No, I think he values the winning. I think the winning is really the ultimate of where he gets to. And I think he has faith in Belichick to get the right players on the field. And so that is why they're able to do what they do. Just like Tim Duncan did that for the San Antonio Spurs. Some
right.
players value winning at a certain level, and I think that's really important.
There's not too many of those guys out there, as you know, right?
Rare breeds.
No,
to give up to what Brady's given up.
Really, right? A rare breed, no doubt.
Yeah, because Brady every year could say, I want to be the highest paid quarterback, and they would have to do it. Every year he could come out and be a pig, right?
No doubt. He could do it easily. But, you know, I mean, here's the reality of it. He knows that if he eats, like Tony Soprano, if he eats all the rigatoni, there's going to be nothing left. So he's got to share it, right?
But wait, he put his house up for sale. The dynasty's over, right? It's done. He put his house up for sale.
I mean, people are making such a big deal out of this, and I think it's kind of wrong, because the reality of it is he's had a house in Los Angeles that he put up for sale. I mean, I don't think I think he's a real estate guy. I think he likes building $40 million mansions. I mean, the last house he sold it to Dr. Dre. It had a moat in it. I mean, seriously, you know? So I think we make too much out of these things. And then what we do is we draw false conclusions on them, and it becomes problematic.
I want to have that problem, though, to have a house for sale for that much money.
I want to have a moat. Yeah, Mike, I'm with you. I want a moat in my house. Wow.
Hey, yeah, I mean, absolutely.
Let's ask you about the other crazy. You've been around the NFL a long, long time. Have you ever seen anything like this Antonio Brown story? Yeah. It's by itself, isn't it? I say that too. Like,
I mean, why are you surprised, Joe? I mean, this guy. Why are you surprised? I mean, you've watched this league for years. Have the Steelers ever gotten rid of a really good player and you said, "Wow, that's a dumb move by the Steelers"? How many times have you said that's a dumb move by the Steelers in a sentence? You never say that.
No.
The Steelers are smart. They know what they're doing. If they get rid of a guy, it's usually the guy's at the end of his career. I mean, do they make some mistakes? Yeah, I mean, Mike Vrabel's a mistake I'm sure they like to have back. But they're not in the business of making mistakes. They know what they're doing. And I think the reality here is, I think the true reality is that, you know, this guy causes problems. He loves the attention. He's narcissistic. He loves it. Even if it's bad attention, he loves it. And look, he's a great player on the field, but here's the issue. And here's the real issue that fans don't see. They all want Antonio Brown because he's a great player. When Antonio Brown's in the huddle, he's telling the quarterback, you throw me the ball. You go back and watch any Pittsburgh tape last year, Roethlisberger's forcing the ball to him when he's got other guys wide open because Roethlisberger cowed to him. He allowed him to have, hey, look, you get the ball, I'm going to throw it to you. He didn't want to have to deal with this guy in the huddle. That's a problem. Derek Carr and Antonio Brown, that's the next battle we're going to hear about because Carr's not forcing the ball into him.
Did John Gruden know what he was getting? I know he wanted a number one receiver. You think he would ever admit, damn, I got a little bit more than I thought I was going to get here?
You know, I think John, you know, the John on television, and I've written about this in The Athletic, and I talk about this on Beeson all the time. The John on my podcast, I talk about it. The John that America knows from television. Love you, love. He loves every player. The John is a coach, hates every player. So, you know, they're two different personalities, right? I've been with John, so I can tell you this authentically. Like, he's always complaining about, I don't have enough talent, I don't have enough this. I wrote about it in my book, Gridiron Genius. There's a whole section of it in the book. I wrote the book 2 years ago. I mean, so it's no. Do I think John? I think John has no patience. I mean, like when John goes up to Derek Carr and on the Hard Knocks the other day, says, can't you be more like me? Can't you be a jerk? He's looking for him to be more of a leader, and I think that's the problem. You know, John wants that, and John's not. There's two John Grudens. America knows one, and then there's the one the players know, and it's completely different.
By the way, can we stick with Antonio Brown for a second and go to the injury report and see frostbite on there and say, is that the first time you've ever seen that?
Yeah, we've never seen that. That's new.
I've never seen that. And apparently, I guess what happened is he had moisture underneath his feet. That this wasn't something that he did just stupidly. I think it was something that because of the moisture in his foot, I think it's a real reason how it happened. And I don't think it was just because he was just messing around.
Hey, let me ask you about this Aaron Rodgers thing with his new coach. How's that all going to play out? Do they get it worked out? Because you got a pretty big difference when the coach says, I want you to call this play and one other if you're going to give him a check with me at the line of scrimmage. Outside of that, and he's going, wait a second. I've been around forever. I can audible. I know how to do this. I'm a Berkeley guy. I know what the hell I'm doing. How's that going to all play out?
Well, I've said this from the beginning. I mean, Matt LaFleur walks in there, and he had an offense that scored less than 20 points 10 times last year for the Tennessee Titans. Is he going to be able to say to Aaron Rodgers, let's go back and watch my Titans tape and see what we did here because it's really good. You know, this is some good stuff here. We need to watch it. Of course not. And Rodgers is going to go in there and say, bro, I don't want to do that, man. I don't like that. You know, when you coach a player of that magnitude, you better bring some cachet – to you. You better bring Super Bowl trophies to you. And I think Mark Murphy, the president of the Packers, he wants to run the team. He wants to become Al Davis. You know, in my lifetime, I've never heard the Packers president ever talk. In the last 6 months, I've heard Mark Murphy have an opinion on everything. And that's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. He wants to talk about it, you know? And so they changed the dynamics, and this is what they're going to get. This is what they're going to get. They're going to get a quarterback who doesn't buy into it. Look, maybe Matt LaFleur is the next greatest coach, but somebody's got to show me a tape of his offense being productive, and I haven't seen it yet.
Interesting. Hey, with Aaron Rodgers in the huddle, too.
Don't beat around the bush, okay?
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Hey. One quick question for you also. The Trent Williams situation in Washington. The relationship is toxic. He doesn't want to be there. Now they're refusing to trade him. How is this all going to work out?
Well, I tweeted out this morning. I mean, Adam Schefter says they refuse to trade him, and I believe what Adam Schefter says. I have no doubt. But I don't believe one word out of Washington. Like, that Washington, that's all they do is send Michigan. And I talked to a coach in the league. I talked to two coaches in the league yesterday that all assured me that Trent Williams is available for the right price. But Williams wants a new contract, and the Redskins want a huge ransom for him. So it's a doubleheader. Javion Clowney and Williams are the two most talked-about players for trades. However, that being said, you got to redo their contracts, and you've got to be able to satisfy the team's demands. Those are hard things to trade. So I don't believe a word out of the Redskins. I believe what Adam's saying. Look, Trent Williams wants nothing to do with the general manager of the Redskins. He feels he's been lied to, like a lot of people. I think that's an issue in Washington. However, the owner and the general manager are never going to part. They're together forever, and that's why the fan base has dwindled away.
Before we let you go, Jadeveon Clowney, does he get traded?
I don't think so. They would like to. I think there's no doubt he's available, but you got to pay the ransom. I mean, and that's expensive. You know, not only do you have to give up a cheap player, which is a first round pick, which is economically valuable, right? Now you got to pay him, and it's hard to do those things. It's hard to do those things and justify it. You know, this isn't like we got a money tree in the backyard. Everybody gets paid. You know, we're not all going to sing Kumbaya and everybody gets the money. So you got to be able to make hard decisions.
Michael, thank you for your time.
Thanks,
we'll bug you again soon.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
All right, that was Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Michael Lombardi. Insider calls are brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Mike, we always appreciate that.
Oh, my God. Does he bring it to the friggin' table?
Thank God he tapers it off a little bit, right? Yeah.
He doesn't back down. Hey, by the way, Choice Mortgage Bank doesn't back down. No, Michael. Kotze says, hey, man, poor credit, weak tax returns. Whatever you're frustrated with right now with your mortgage banker, you don't have to be. Not when you got Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage Bank. My man's ready to help you. I'm telling you right now, he's got all kinds of good news. It's about getting you approved. If you need to get approved and you need somebody to take a second chance, find a creative way to get it done, they can do it. Fixed rate mortgages right now. Interest rates are now in the threes. You can call right now to lock in your mortgage rate and save money. Refinance for debt consolidation. Get rid of your mortgage insurance. Refinance your high FHA interest rate. Cash out for home renovations. You've been wanting those hurricane windows. Now you can afford them. I'm telling you, he can do it all for you. Maybe you have a question about reverse mortgages. They're super hot for people over the age of 62. Have a question. I'm telling you right now, he is the total package. You're going to love it. Unbelievable service. Always gets back to you. Been in business since 1994. Got a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. Equal Housing Lender. NMLS 166254. Here's his number. 561-441-2730. 561-441-2730 for Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage Bank.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.